Well, here we are again. Who knows that if you're not on holidays, you're not going away on holidays, the best place to be is the house of God. Who feels glad to be here already? Good to get in the presence of God. Good to enjoy Him. And what a great time of the year it is. And I know for some people that it can be quite difficult, but at the same time, we have a Saviour and everything's going to be all right in the end. Amen. That's worth celebrating. So regardless of how bad your year has been, it's going to get better. Because we have Christ in our life and at the centre of our life. And so I want to talk to you this morning about the meaning of Christmas. Turn to your neighbour and say, I'm looking forward to hearing the meaning of Christmas. Oh, thank you, sweetheart. Doesn't my life look dashing this morning? So, anyway, let's not get distracted. Let's go to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John, not John, 1 John. Some of the young people will be going, what? Is there more than 1 John? Yes. Okay, 1 John 1. It's right near the end of the Bible. 1 John 1, verses 1 to 4. I want to share with you these four verses that are the meaning of Christmas. Are we all alert this morning? A couple of you. Are we alert today? All right, so here we go from the New Living Translation, and I think we have the PowerPoint, don't we, fellas? You put it up for me. Oh, you do it. Don't confuse me. Okay, so the one who existed, is that right? Yeah, all right, slightly different translation, but here we go. The one who existed from the beginning is the one we have heard and seen. We saw him with our own eyes and touched him with our own hands. He is Jesus Christ, the Word of life. This one who is life from God was shown to us, and we have seen him. And now we testify and announce to you that he is the one who is eternal life. He was with the Father, and then he was shown to us. We are telling you about what we ourselves have actually seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. Turn to your neighbor and say, my joy may be complete. These four verses tell us what Christmas means. Rather than the events of Jesus' birth itself, if you missed out last week, you can go to our podcasts, c3f.com.au, and you can listen, download it. There's a couple of videos there as well. But rather than the events of Jesus' birth itself, this is who he is. Okay, I'm excited. Is anyone else like, this is who Jesus is? So I want you to be a little bit, so some of our Africans have gone back to Africa, so I need you to be a little bit more African this morning. So, and give me something. So today, come on. All right. Okay. Now I feel like T.D. Jakes. This is, I'm not that good. All right. So number one, salvation is the unmerited favor of God. It's referred to as grace. But just in case you're not sure what grace is, it's the unmerited favor. Unmerited favor of God to us. He has gifted us with life and through his Son. It's an incredible thing. And so better put this around the right way. Another thing that it says here, and I just want to go to the last part of this verse. From his fullness, we have also received grace upon grace. You know, it's amazing to me that right through the Bible, it refers to this amazing grace. Who loves that hymn? It doesn't matter how old you are or young you are. I can't sing. Amazing grace. Amazing grace. That's part of the story of Christmas, isn't it? Amazing grace. And so the Bible says in John that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It's referring to Jesus. He was with the Father from the beginning. That's an important thing. He was with the Father from the beginning. He doesn't, now this is why it's important, he doesn't just have life. He doesn't just give life. He is life. I want to hear a little bit. I said, he doesn't just have life. He doesn't just give life. He is life. Give me something. He is life. He is life. He is Jesus Christ, the Word of life. Who likes our Christmas tree this morning? It's alive. I had some comments. That's a really cool tree. I think someone thought they could take it home to their house. Well, why not? It's Christmas. But not until after we've done our stuff. Otherwise, I'll get in trouble from the girls. See, this is why Christianity is different to all other religions. Talk life. Say it with me, life.
Life.
Okay, and it's in particular, he is life, right? And so, in every other religion, the founder is a prophet or a sage. And the founder says, here is the way for you to find eternal life. Do this, do this, do this. This is the way when you do these things. But Jesus says, come on, but Jesus says, but Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way, the truth. Stand up on your feet. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Come on. Yes, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Thank you, guys. I just wanted you to get involved with me this morning. It's Christmas time. You know, Christianity does not say that I am a great prophet pointing the way to God. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. What does that mean? It means that there is a place for every single one of us. Oh, how good is that? There's a place waiting for you. There's mansions here. Why does he mention the word mansions? Because there's room for everybody. And Colossians states that we are complete in him. He is all life. He is the fullness of life. He is all that you need. And so we can't save ourselves. He is life. Say it with me. He is life. He is life. He is life. And so, you know, people have said to me many times, you know, next year is our 20th anniversary as a church. And so I've had a bit of experience being pastor now from the early days. And they say, what matters is that you live a good life. I have some very close friends who some of them are, you know, I try and get to church quite regularly. And they always say, but I lead a good life. I lead a good life. That's what matters. And it's good that you lead a good life, right? That is good. But when you say what matters is that you live a good life, that's actually a doctrine. The doctrine states, I am actually not so bad that I need a savior. I am actually not so messed up that I can't pull it together and lead a good enough life on my own. And so you'll try and live a good life characterized by fear and insecurity because you never think that what you are doing is quite good enough. Or it will be marked by pride, a disdain for others. Or self-loathing because you haven't been good enough. You can't live up to your own ideals. And so you will either be insecure, anxious or proud, or devastated. And these phases just keep repeating themselves over and over and over again. If Jesus did not actually come, it's just a wonderful story or legend. God, gift, baby, it's just another nice story. But John says, we saw him with our own eyes. We saw him. We heard him with our own ears. We touched his hands. We felt him once he'd been down from the cross. We saw what had happened to him. And John is not making pleasant conversation with this verse. He is like swearing a deposition. It's not just a nice story. Fellas, women, everybody. It really happened. It really happened. Shake your neighbor. It really happened. Come on. It really happened. We really saw him. He really died. He really rose again. It's really God come. Not just a great teacher. He is God himself. He is God himself. Wow. John is saying to us that Christmas is absolutely true. Saved by grace, the unmerited favor of God. You can know his grace, you can know his unmerited favor by believing in him, and you will be received and accepted. God loves you. It's an amazing grace. There's nothing we can do. There's no performance schedule that we have to meet, no KPI. There's nothing except that he has already loved on us. All we need to do is actually act upon what he has already given us. So first of all, Christmas means salvation by grace. Salvation by grace, his unmerited favor. Second, it's fellowship with God. Fellowship with God. I love what 1 John 1:3 says. We are telling you about what we ourselves have actually seen and heard so that you may have fellowship with us. It's not enough just to believe in God or even just to obey him. Christmas means that God has gone to infinite lengths to come near to you, to have a personal relationship with you, to know him personally. And God is not content to be a concept that we can believe or something to warm our hearts. And I think we need to be careful that what Christmas is doesn't become just about family, because it's bigger than family, as important as that is. It's who we belong to that's really the most important thing. And so, God is not content to be a powerful source you bow to in some way. He became human. He became human so that we can really know him. And when John says fellowship, he is referring to the intimate relationship with him. You see, one day Moses, go back to the Old Testament, beard, white hair, beard. And Moses is asking, having a conversation with God. He says, I'd like to see you. And God says, that's just not going to be possible, Moses, because if you see me, fried. You burn up, man. Not pretty. So I'm going to save you something happened. So that he felt the presence of God, and it was always prophesied that there was going to be son in a form that we could actually relate with. And so let me explain it this way, it's like when we look up at the sun. Who, when on a nice hot day, you know, let's pray that Christmas isn't 42 degrees, but if it is, we're looking up the sun, and we're looking at that sun, and it's like, man, you can't look at it, can you? It's too hot. It's too bright. We have to turn away. There has to be something between you and the sun so that you can look at it. Charles Wesley wrote these lyrics. Hark the herald angels. Okay, we'll probably sing that, will we, in Christmas Eve? Hark the herald. Okay, that's as far as I go. And one of the lines he aptly wrote was this, I've looked up the lyrics. I'm not going to sing them, I promise. But it says, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity. I couldn't help myself. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity. Just as we need a filter to look at the sun, so it is that God gave Jesus so that rather than be overwhelmed, we are able to relate with him perfectly. God in human form comes near through Jesus Christ. God went to infinite lengths to get near you, to get close to you so that you could know him personally. He lost his glory. He lost his life. You must be willing to go to great lengths to get close to him. Let me speak to every Christian here, every person that wants to be a believer. It's not just about believing. It's not just about yes, I lead a good life. Christmas means God wants to be near you. Come on. Christmas means God wants to be near who? You. Put your hand on your heart. God wants to be near you. He wants to be with you. He wants to communicate with you. Thank you, Lord. I receive of all you have for me this Christmas. You know, you can take your hands off your heart if you haven't already. And I want to give you an opportunity today to pray and invite Jesus into your life. He went to great lengths for you. Will you go to great lengths for him? And as I was saying, those of us that have believed a long time, that have been a Christian a while, will you not only start and have a fresh life? It's a great time to reinvigorate your faith in God at Christmas time. Will you reconnect? You know, it's a great time to open your Bible and read it again. It's a great time to pray. We've got time on our hands this time of year. Give him room. Will you allow him to give room in your life for him? We are to experience Jesus, not just believe him. And so he put in the time, will you? Thirdly, love really matters. Love really matters. Who believes love really matters? There wouldn't be anyone in this room that wouldn't believe that, would there? Love really matters, right? Love really, who likes going to the movies and it's great when there's a romantic part? There's something about that, isn't there? There's something about even guys, speaking for myself, maybe I should learn this a bit more often. But anyway, you know, when that part comes, you know, and it's just, oh, so nice. What the man does for the woman, or, you know, and there's that kind of, that's just that moment where, oh, wasn't that so nice what she did for, or he did for me? We all need. We all need love. Come on. We wouldn't wear nice clothes if we didn't like to look good. Yeah? Not, you know, shoes. What about our shoes? Why do you want to dress to impress, right? Young people. We wouldn't wear makeup if we didn't want some love in our life. It's true, right? We wouldn't get our hair done. Sometimes I wish we wouldn't get our hair done, but anyway. We want people to love us. Christmas tells you that what your heart really knows is true. Christmas can make you whole. Christmas proves that love pre-existed the world. Created the world and redeemed the world. 1 John 1:1, from the very first day, we were there, the Message Bible says. It's referring to the Godhead. From the very first day, we were there. Every other religion says God is an impersonal force, or that a God created and then loved. But only God is a communal, glorious love in himself. One God, three persons, knowing and loving each other from all eternity. Which means love was before the world. The world came from love. Who thinks that's good meaning for Christmas? His love is redeeming the world. God didn't just write information. He wrote himself into your life. Come on, that's worth something. He didn't just write information and do this, do that. He wrote himself into your life. Oh, come on, give me a bit more praise. Give God a hand. He wrote himself into your life. Born in a manger, and as we know now from last week, that the manger is not a barn. Just putting that in there. It's just a little feeding trough so that everyone can relate to Jesus. To die in our place, he dealt with all the issues in our life. Full stop. Love is not a thing. It has come from somewhere else, and Christmas proves that. Christmas means his unmerited favor, his grace. Christmas means fellowship with God, and Christmas means love really matters. Fourthly and lastly today, my last point this morning, Christmas means joy. Turn to your neighbor and say, Christmas means joy. Who smiled when you said the word joy? Christmas means joy. Come on. Isn't it every person that loves to get around and be with others, Christmas is a great time of year. And every person that says, yeah, come up, guys, don't wait for me. Just come up now. Christmas means joy. And so, okay, look at me while the guys are getting ready. Look at me. My family and I are blessed to live on a limestone hill. We believe God led us to the block approximately 4 years ago. In fact, my wife had a bit of a divine intervention, which we're not going into this morning, walking along God moment. That block's for us. She's the woman. She hears God. Don't argue with her. But the block was far from ideal, as it was full of limestone and dropped away dramatically in places. And it was hard to grasp what the block could actually be like with a house on it, actually. And I got some advice. And today it's a great joy waking up and looking over the houses and looking at the ocean beyond. It brings our family great joy. It's an amazing thing. We couldn't see it, but God could. That joy came at great cost. It took some serious foundational work to place the house in position. In some places, the limestone capping was so thick, it had to be smashed through. Heavy machinery took the ground and shook the ground apart and broke away the limestone capping. I remember the Telstra guy coming to me, and I've never encountered so many rocks just trying to get the Telstra line to your house. But it was worth the additional cost and hardship. You know, that's how God thinks of you. He suffered. He died. Between reality and heaven, God smashed the hole through the barrier. He got the D9 out and because he was determined to show his love to every single one of us. The barrier between the ideal and the real was smashed, and the ideal became real. He became real. He came down into our lives to change everything eventually. The Bible says we are writing these things so that our joy will be complete. The meaning of Christmas is that it's salvation by grace, his unmerited favor, fellowship with God. Love really matters, and that your joy will be complete. His love was so great that he smashed through the barrier between heaven and earth to bring us great joy through fellowship with him. Why don't we stand to our feet this morning? Please stand. Why don't we just take this moment? I'd love us to bow our head and close our eyes. You see, there is nothing that you can do to earn his favor. Christianity, unlike all other religions, isn't based on what we need to do. It is what Christ has already done for us. It really is amazing grace. Will you accept his love for you today? Accept that you need a savior. It's not just about being a good person. It's about understanding what Christ has already done. Will you accept it? Put away your pride. Put away those other things. I've got to achieve this. No, Jesus has done it all for us. Make your joy complete today. Receive Jesus as Lord of your life. And so I want to pray with you in a moment to invite Jesus into your heart. And I'd like every person, if you've never received Jesus as Lord of your life today, don't miss this opportunity to invite Jesus Christ to come into your life. He loves you. He smashed through the barrier. He's a reality. Maybe today you're away from Christ. You're backslidden in heart. Will you recommit your life to him today? Will you say, Lord, forgive me for turning away, but I'm coming home now. It's time. Maybe today you're not sure you're going to heaven. You can be sure this morning. If there's any doubt, any fear that you don't know where you're heading, you don't know that your life is ahead of you in Christ, I would like you to pop up your hand in a moment also and receive Jesus as Lord of your life. And I said I wanted to pray with you, and I do. First of all, I'd like you to respond and say, please, Pastor, will you pray with me? I'm going to ask you on the count of three to pop up your hand and I'll see it. If you've never received Jesus as Lord of your life today, if you know you need to come back to him today, or you know you're not sure you're not going to heaven, will you receive Jesus as Lord of your life? He's done all the work. He's smashed through the barrier. Will you accept his grace in your life today? He has redeemed all. On the count of three, if you've never received Jesus as Lord of your life, if you've never accepted Christ as Lord, please will you do this in one moment's time. If you need, you're backslidden, you're away from God and you want to come back to him today, don't leave this auditorium without making right with God. He loves you. There's always a second chance with him. And you're not sure you're going to heaven. There's some fear there, some doubt. You too, please pop up your hand. So on the count of three, if you've never received Jesus as Lord of your life, you want to recommit.